a great day, a great morning. You're going to hear this morning from a few of our folks about their salvation stories, some other things. It's going to be a really exciting day. This is an unusual day in some respects for us in that it is set aside every year for us to spend time in celebration for what God has done in the previous year and to look forward at some of the things that we're planning for the year to come. So if this is your first time with us, you've picked a really great day to be here. You're going to hear all about who we are and be encouraged both and challenged as well. We'd like to frame the day for us by starting with a pair of verses in Proverbs chapter 19. And I believe these really help us to see what we are striving for. Beginning with verse 20, listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. What is desired in a man is steadfast love. Plans are just plans. If God is not in the midst, working, moving, the Holy Spirit drawing us closer to himself, and changing us. And if we've surrendered our lives to Jesus, we've experienced and continue to experience the unfailing love of God in our lives. And it is indescribable how much he loves us. Part of that relationship with him includes movement. Change is a part of that movement as we join God where he is working, as phrased by Henry Blackaby. And we all know that change is a part of life. This has definitely been a year of change for us, in particular on this campus. Several years ago, Steve Scott, former pastor, was called to this church, Fellowship Baptist at the time, to serve as the lead pastor. This church merged with Blue Valley Baptist and became Blue Valley Baptist on this campus. Steve served as the campus pastor. Months ago, he was called to First Baptist Church in Basser and is doing, by the way, a great job. I got to spend some time with him last week talking about where things are, how he's doing. God is moving and working, but in that, it's just evidence that God has transitioned him to a different role in a different place. In the midst of that, God opened the opportunity for me to begin serving here as the campus pastor, which I and our family has loved. Also with that, Jonathan Locke, who had served as our discipleship pastor currently now, served as a student pastor for several years, and God provided the opportunity for him to step into this new role, discipleship pastor on the Antioch campus where he's currently serving. So that created a vacuum or a hole, and so Micah Hayes, hired as the Antioch student pastor, began to serve in that way, and God is already using both of those guys in unique ways. Adam Bailey, who has been a part of our church family since he was a baby, God called him to Iowa to serve at a church there, and I talked with him this week as well, and Adam is doing very well. Brianna is too. God is using them in mighty ways already where they are, living and serving. And then we've seen a transition as well with Jill Hogan, who was the discipleship admin assistant, her role expanding in January to become the marketing communications director for our church family as well, and doing a great job. So we see a lot of moving chairs that have happened in our church family in the last really 6 months to 9 months. And all of those things, we have seen the hand and movement of God as we continue serving and striving together with him. When we mention the word change, we have to consider how God is continually changing us from the inside out, for those of us who have surrendered. And so I'm going to ask Charles Hall and Dennis and Pam Williams if you would come forward at this time. It is great to hear stories of change and what God has done over time, and particularly meaningful to hear how those within our church have made a difference and are making a difference. One of the ways we're able to hear those stories, of course, is to have individuals share. And so a few weeks ago, Dennis and Pam, Tiffany and I sat down, got to spend some time together hearing their story. Come on up, you guys, hearing their story. And then this week, I got to sit with Charles. And so we're going to have Charles begin with the microphone on the chin, right, everyone, because we want to hear you. Charles is going to share his story, began together with their families uniquely, his salvation story, et cetera, and then Dennis and Pam.
Good morning, everyone. Pastor had asked me to share my testimony, and I've really never done this in front of a large audience. I've shared a lot of one-on-one, but a lot of circumstances kind of brought me to salvation in Christ. It kind of started in 1983. I'm going to get through some high points here. But I was working at General Motors at the time. And in the spring of that year, I got laid off from work there. And so at that time, also my second son had just been born. But I was looking for some extra income, and I'd always kind of wanted to join the military. I joined the National Guard to help with income, and I also wanted to. But went to basic training in May of 1983. Things went well for a while, and I started having a lot of medical problems, and spent 4 months down there, and come back in September, still having some medical problems. Went back to GM to work. They'd restarted the shift up, and I went to work, and I was kind of needing a sit-down job because I was having a lot of medical problems, and we prayed about it, and asked the Lord did provide one, and so after that, I worked for a while, and a good friend of mine, his name was, he was a Christian man, in fact, Bill Green was his name, and he had given me my first Bible, which is, I still have today, and he witnessed to me about Christ, and later on in September, I think it was 1984, I believe, was when I Lord brought me to my knees and to the cross, and I received Christ as my Savior. Praise God. And it's been an adventure ever since. So, and then in 1987, GM closed the plant down I worked at, so I went to work for Miami County. And that's where I met Dennis Williams. And I started witnessing to him and sharing with him, and gave him his own Bible, and shared the gospel with him. And later he did come to Christ. So with that, I want to thank you all for your time here, and I'll turn this over to Dennis.
So in 1996, I went to work for Miami County Public Works as a mechanic, and I was working closely with three other men, and and Charles was a Jesus follower, and I knew he was, and he was a faithful Jesus follower, and we were working on a project one day, and he had shared the gospel with me, and I'd never heard a clear presentation of the gospel before, and he told me that, you know, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, that I would, without Christ as my Savior, Lord, and treasure, I would perish. And I became very angry. I became convicted because of the scripture quoted and the conviction that had taken place in my heart. And so shortly after he gave me my first Bible, I'd never had a Bible before, and I took it home, and I placed it in my dresser, really had no intention to read it, and within the next week, I just felt compelled to open my dresser up, get the Bible out, begin reading it, and looking back, I could see the Holy Spirit's drawing me, and so I began reading first couple of chapters of the Gospel of John. That's what he suggested starting out reading. So I did. And I came to John chapter 3, where Nicodemus and Jesus have their little discourse there. And John chapter 3, verse 3 says, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, I knew I wasn't in the kingdom. I knew I wasn't part of the universal church. I knew I wasn't trusting in Christ. And at that moment, I believe I was regenerated. And that just like Lydia in the book of Acts, the Lord opened my heart. And I was made responsive and freely embraced Christ as my Savior and Lord. And Charles was a great help to me. He came alongside me. He not only encouraged me to read my Bible on a regular daily basis, but also he had handed me a index card, a 3x5 index card with a lot of scripture verses on it, and those were extremely helpful in times of anxiety, fear, sin, whatever it might have been. And I remember going home and I would memorize those verses, and so I thank God and I praise God for Charles's consistent, faithful witness, and I'm thankful that Charles took seriously the Great Commission.
Dennis and I met in 2005. I had started working as a school bus driver, and he had left working at Miami County to go to the school bus lot, and he was a mechanic there. Once we met, we quickly became friends. From the beginning, I could tell that there was something different about him. He was very happy all the time, and he just seemed genuinely to care for people. He talked about God a lot and about going to church. In December of that same year, during a phone conversation, I asked him to tell me why he believed in God. He told me his testimony that he just shared with you and how his life had changed since then. And that is where God got me. I confessed my sins and absolute need for Jesus. I knew that I had been searching for a very long time, going back to my childhood. I was part of a family that didn't show a lot of love. My parents came from broken families. My dad had a very abusive father, and my mom was in a very broke foster care system where she was abused as well. So when they married, they didn't know how to be a mom and a dad. And my brother and my sister and I suffered from that. I can see, though, how God planned my life and put me in that family so that in the moment of me and Dennis having that conversation, that I would come to faith. He made that happen, and he made me see that I needed him. And so I thank Dennis for doing what God tells us all to do when we come to faith, and that is to continue to tell everyone about who God is.
So let's consider what we've just heard. A man at work took a chance, took a Bible, shared the gospel. Charles found Christ, surrendered his life, took a hold of Jesus, walked with him. Charles, I'm making a difference at work. I'm going to shine and share the gospel. What happens? Dennis Williams, gospel shared, another Bible given. Dennis surrenders his life. What happens next? Dennis and Pam meet. What a joy, huh, Dennis? Dennis and Pam meet. Dennis shares the gospel with Pam. What happens? Pam surrenders her life to Jesus. That is the picture of what we're supposed to do. Neighborhood, work, school, doesn't matter. Location. What matters is Jesus shining through you and you sharing the gospel and loving people like God does, like Jesus does. That story should be happening more and more. Many of you have experienced a similar time in life where God used someone else in your life to show you the gospel in real and tangible ways. You embraced him, you surrendered your life, you in turn have shared the gospel, and others have come to know Christ as a result. That is what we are called to do. And not just to leave them as infants and babies. Did you hear what Charles and Dennis both said? Charles discipled Dennis. What would have happened in Dennis's life? God still could have moved, worked, would have grown him. But not in the same way if he wouldn't have followed through and discipled him. We are called to disciple, not just to convert. That story, when they shared that with me, I just saw that and I thought, we never or rarely hear stories of God working like that. And I was so overwhelmed and so encouraged. I was like, we got to share that, you guys. Pam, not perfection. God using broken people to reach other broken people. Amazing. Could God do that in your life in the next year? If you don't know Jesus and you surrender to him, could he do something like that in your life? Yes. If you know Jesus and it's been a long time since you've shared about him with others, could he do that kind of a work in someone else's life? Yes. Will we step up and do it? I pray so. What would be amazing next year, or as the year progresses in the next year, as these stories happen, as God changes people, for stories like that to be shared every week. Could God do such a work? Absolutely. Will we be obedient to him and share? Prayerfully so, including myself. Thank you, you three. Amazing. We transitioned past back into our celebrating. Summer of 2017, last year, began the fall with some messages that were dedicated to the five S's, focused on various aspects of our lives with relationship to God and the way we needed to communicate that, the way we needed to grow, and we've all grown as a result if we've been a part of this church family in the last year. If you recall, last year, during the giving thanks service, we experienced our first elder ordination service. We're 10 guys called by God. We're together on the stage at the Antioch campus being ordained together, saying, this is my lay leadership involvement and role at this church. As a result of that time, one of those 10 already has been called to vocational ministry, Jim Kennedy, and he is now a pastor in Indiana. Look what God did in the course of the last year in his life. Amazing. And I believe in the coming year, years plural, we will see even more who join our group as elders. Feel called to that, and as the church is called as well. It's been amazing, in particular, with two of those guys who you see on a weekly basis, especially in this room, Jeff Herman and Chris Smith. Those guys are the elders who are responsible for this campus, the Ridgeview campus, and it has been an absolute honor and joy to serve with those guys for the last nearly 6 months now and their families in this role. They love God. They love you. And God's using them and they're making a difference. Christmas Eve 2017 gave us another reason to celebrate. It was not only the highest attendance in BVBC history at 1566 and 264, but the gospel was preached and seeds were planted at each one of those as you brought lost family members and friends to our church family. And God worked, and some of you have been able to see some of those come to Christ in the last few months. So we approached each Easter, many of us came together to serve on an all-out rainy work day. Remember that? Remember the mud, for those of you who were involved in that? Rod Shipley has a heart and a giftedness and a skill set to be able to lead us effectively in that way of doing things around the campus that need to be done. More of those things, more of those work days are coming. The summer began in a fast and furious way as we walked through graduation Sunday and both campuses began to prepare and serve students, student mission. Vacation Bible School came next, student camp, big kids camp, Colorado mission trip, India mission trip, Brazil, Honduras, Operation Christmas Child happened last year, family reunion service in June. Amazing how much took place. And at the family reunion service, we saw Adam Bailey ordained. Incredible, wonderful evening. Well, during the entire year, last year, we had incredible leadership given by both the Moriera and the Vaughn families with Rolling Ridge Apartment Ministry. Now, if this is the first time that you've heard of those ministries, it is basically a place where we as a church have adopted, come on up, Lauren, as a ministry center, as an opportunity for us to share the gospel and to work in the lives of those who realistically have not been reached out to. And God has done some amazing things. Lauren, who serves as a part of that team right now, would like to share what God convicted her to do this summer and some of the things that God's done. So, Lauren, it's yours.
Man, second service is a lot brighter up here. I'm Lauren Allen, for those of you that don't know. We've been at Blue Valley for about 3 years. My husband is Jeff Allen. He's the tall guy with the beard that usually hands out the bulletins. I have five kids. I'm sure you've seen us all walking down the hallway together. Rolling Ridge is an apartment complex here in town. It's extremely low income. Years before I became involved, people like Valerie and Roy and Ricardo and Sonia had been spending time at the complex building relationships and showing Christ's love to the people that live there. Last spring, our family had the opportunity to participate in the soccer ministry, which is kind of like the Upward that we had here, but a little less, in my opinion. I don't know. I don't play soccer, but, oh, I say Kelsey Smith on my shirt. Sorry. Anyways, it was a great time. They allowed us to help coach, although I know nothing about coaching soccer. I really, really enjoyed being there with my kids, watching my kids get to play soccer with them, getting to know them, building the relationships with both the grown-ups and the kiddos. The kids that we spend time with at Rolling Ridge are just so awesome. They're joyful and they're loving and sometimes difficult, but always just wonderful to be around. But as awesome as they are, there are a lot of things in their lives that are not awesome. A lot of things in their lives that make them feel different and sometimes embarrassed. And as Jeff and I were spending time with these kids, we really saw things in them and in their lives that we were able to resonate with from our own childhoods. Jeff and I both come from extremely poor and broken homes, and we experience a lot of things that we see them struggling with, and we can kind of see in their futures things that they will struggle with that we also struggled with. Jeff and I have spoken to one another about how wonderful it would have been in our childhoods if people like the Morieras and the Vaughns and the Mosiers, who are Christ-loving people, had come and walked beside us and showed us in a real way what Christ's love was and what it felt like and what it looked like. As the summer came around, Fun Fridays was brought up. And Fun Fridays is where we go on a Friday and we bring lunch with us and we have a picnic lunch in the shade, whatever shade we can find, and play games. We did water balloons, tag, sidewalk chalk, Pictionary, lots and lots of soccer. These kids think that soccer is like life, and they take it seriously, and there's no room for error when it comes to me out there looking like a fool. They're serious. So Fun Fridays opened the door for lots of different service. There were a lot of moms and their kids that came out and played with us on the Fridays and spent time with us and spent time with the kids. There's lots of people that work and can't just be there on a Friday. People like Kim Steinmetz came into my house on Thursdays, and we packed 30 lunches to take with us. Women from around the church baked cookies for us to put in these lunches because a lot of these kids can't necessarily count on a meal regularly when school's not in session. And so it was nice, you could tell, that they could count on a meal every Friday and that they could have that extra love that a homemade cookie brings. I mean, some of us maybe have those in our lives every day, but a lot of us don't. Sharing a meal and playing games are really good relationship builders. I loved watching not only the adults that were there build a relationship with the kids, but to watch my own kids and the Bishop boys and the Walters kids, to name just a few, loving on these kids and being Christ-like in a way that was doable for them, and a lot of times weren't even realizing that that's what they were doing. I think that it would be true to say that our presence at Rolling Ridge over the summer was a benefit to the kids. Kids like Sean and Victor and Danny and Haciel that live there at Rolling Ridge. But I can honestly say that I think I got way more out of it than they did. I got to see my family grow in Christ. I got to share with my kids serving in the Lord. I was on the receiving end of some of the best hugs. Those kids are out there waiting, looking for our cars on a Friday, asking, where's Coach Roy? Where's so-and-so? I'm so glad you guys are here. I got the opportunity to spend a little time and love on a sixth grade girl and share with her that I understand what it feels like when your dad says, I'm going to come pick you up for the weekend, and then he never shows, and you just don't know what you did that made him not come. I got to spend time with other adults in our church family that I didn't know before then. I got to see what awesome people they are and what they're interested in and how they bless my life and I can bless theirs, hopefully. I got to watch the truly godly labor of love that the Rolling Ridge Ministry is to those who carry the weight of it. My heart was filled to overflowing this summer, and I can track most of it directly back to this ministry and these people. Fun Fridays was only a portion of what goes on at Rolling Ridge. Through the school year, They do homework huddle once a week. They have a reading group that meets once a week. Wednesday prayer meetings, once a month family breakfasts. Third Friday is game night if anybody wants to come play board games with the older kids. There's just so many opportunities to be had in this ministry. And I would challenge you to think about it and to pray about it and to reach out and ask, how can I help? Because I know we have a place for you, and I can guarantee you that you will get more out of it than you ever even thought you could bring to the table.
You don't truly know what it's like to walk in someone else's shoes until you put yourself in a position to be able to learn it. I don't know what it's like for a Friday looking forward to actually getting to eat, because maybe I haven't eaten during the week. It's 2 miles from here. How long has it been since any of us have missed a meal? Or looked so forward to someone saying, I'm going to bring a meal to you to make sure you get to eat once a week. I gave you the opportunity. Christ telling us, sharing our lives. You gave me something to drink. You gave me something to eat. When did I give you something to drink, God? When did I give you something to eat? You did it to the least of these. We can't say that God is not making a kingdom difference from those that are involved in the Rolling Ridge ministry, from Ridgeview in particular. He is doing an amazing work. That is the gospel. And all of us have the opportunity to jump in with the Moriers, the Vaughns, the Allens, all the families that are involved, the bishops. Could we make a difference like that in the coming year if we have not in the previous? Yes. Does it have to be Rolling Ridge? No. Could it be? You bet. Are we going to be obedient and allow Christ to use us in such a profound way in the lives of people, like is happening at Rolling Ridge in the coming year? That could only be explained as the movement and hand of God. Or are we going to be sitting here August 20, whatever it is, next year, going, man, there's another year. What a tragedy if that were the case. Amazing story. Thank you, Lauren. We could keep going. We could talk about all the things that have happened in the various lives in the previous year. We could talk about weekly investment of our Sunday school teachers, which, by the way, we have 6 new adult Sunday school teachers who will be starting coming up this year. We've got some who are getting much needed breaks, who have taught for year after year after year. It is an exciting time of God moving and working. 5 of those guys who are going to be serving in new roles this year are sitting in the room with us. Eric Butler, Jason Shilders, Roy Vaughn, Weston Burcham, Thomas Lear, all those guys are stepping up, not to mention Chad Folk from the last service and teaching. How about Awana leaders, Anchored in Prayer, Good News Club, deacons, ushers, security team members, kitchen team, the worship team, tech booth, those who go to camps, mission trips, etc. Let's just keep going. There is a lot to celebrate. You are involved in a lot. God is using you in great and mighty ways. One of the things we've talked about for the coming year in particular, as I've been here for, again, almost 6 months, one of the missing pieces has been connection outside of the Sunday school class. So the last couple of months, a really neat thing has happened. The young couples class, in essence, has adopted the retired adults and vice versa. And so for 2 months, those two classes have been meeting together once a month to have lunch because they want to get to know somebody outside their Sunday school class. So as a result, when Jeff and Chris and I talked through that, and with some of the Sunday school teachers, what could we do to foster that happening more and more in the coming year? Well, you're going to hear it from your Sunday school teachers in the coming weeks, but we're going to be having lunches after church, class to class, giving you the opportunity to meet people outside of your own circle. The body and family of Christ. That's awesome, seeing a senior adult with a 24-year-old. Love it. That is what the kingdom's going to look like, isn't it? So why not start now? That's going to be fun. The people of God moving and working together for Christ, that is exciting, and it spurs us on to continue to do what he's called us to do. One word, family. Blue Valley Baptist, Ridgeview Campus. Blue Valley Baptist, Antioch Campus. Together and separately, family. Church worldwide, followers of Jesus worldwide, family. Kingdom of God, when we see one another, when we get there one day, if we've surrendered, family. That's how it's supposed to be. So what does all of this mean, and what will God do in the coming year? I have no earthly idea. But I can tell you this. I am anxiously anticipating the hand and the work and the movement of the Holy Spirit and of God in this place in your lives individually, my life individually, and our lives corporately. And it will only be able to be explained as that was God. We are going to grow. I believe with all my heart we're going to grow spiritually as we know Christ and make him known. We are going to grow relationally. If you are a breathing person in this room, which everyone is, you have the opportunity to build new relationships in the coming year. We are going to grow relationally. We are going to hear stories beyond the stage, person to person, about how Christ worked in their lives and in yours. And we are going to grow numerically. I'm not getting stuck on that, but every evidence in the New Testament that I see, God added to their numbers daily. We're going to see people get saved. We're going to, as we surrender our lives and share the gospel, people are going to jump in with us because they're going to see what God's doing, and it's too exciting not to, who are disconnected. And we're going to see people moving from other areas and other states here. I want in on that. It's happening. It's happening now, and it's going to continue, I believe, with all of my heart, because New Testament, we see evidence of God moving like that. And that excites me. As for the five S's throughout the year, we're going to focus on each one for 2 months at a time. We're going to dig in. We're going to do a series in Colossians in the fall that is going to be amazing, of God's word coming to life in us, then followed by Titus, Sunday school, new curriculum starting in Genesis, walking through the entire Bible in 3 years for adults. That's going to be amazing. If you're not in a Sunday school class, you got to get in one. This is a great time to jump in and get involved in everything. This is your moment. You've been looking for it. You got it. And we've got new deacons. Five new guys who will be stepping into coming roles this year. And if you're here, guys, I want you to pop up. Jeff Allen, Nathan Bishop, Charlie Losh, who was in the last service, Brent Miller, and Ricardo Moriera. Where are you guys? These are our new guys. And then, stay standing, our seven guys who are returning. Tim Aranjo, Tim Hodgson, Steve Kepis, Darren Mosier, Pierre Quayle, Rod Shipley, and Daniel Welty. Where are you guys at? Stand up. All right, so what does this mean for us? This is the first time, I believe, in the history of the last 3.5 years that we've had a full deacon slate. We got 12 guys who are committed to serving this church family. That is unbelievable how God orchestrated and did that. Thanks, guys. And they're all amazing guys, and God's going to do an amazing thing. Book in passages, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, a couple of my favorites. This is our desire for the coming year. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. He will continue to make our path straight in the coming year as we continue to trust in him and depend on him to move and work even in greater ways than he has. I am excited. Are you? Let's pray.